who I brought born to. There is no other way to say this. Wick, my partner and lover both, was a drug dealer, and the drug he pushed was as terrible and beautiful and sad and sweet as life itself. The Beatles Wick altered or made from materials he'd stolen from the company didn't just teach when shoved in your ear. They could also rid you of memories and add memories. People who couldn't face the present shoved them into their ears so they could experience someone else's happier memories from long ago, from places that didn't exist anymore. The drug was the first thing Wick offered me when I met him, and the first thing I refused, sensing a trap even when it seemed like an escape. Within the explosion of mint or lime from putting the beetle in your ear would form marvelous visions of places I hoped did not exist. It would be too cruel, thinking that sanctuary might be real. Such an idea could make you stupid, careless. Only the stricken look on Wick's face in response to my revulsion at the idea made me stay, keep talking to him. I wish I had known the source of his discomfort then, and not so much later. I set the sea anemone on a rickety table between our chairs. We were sitting on one of the rotting balconies, jutting out from a sheer rock face that had inspired me to name our refuge, the Balcony Cliffs. The original name of the place on the rusted placard in the subterranean lobby was unreadable. Behind us lay the warren we lived in, and in front of us, way down below, veiled by a protective skein Wick had made to shield us from unwelcome eyes, the writhings of the poisonous river that ringed most of the city. A stew of heavy metals and oil and waste that generated a toxic mist, reminding us that we would likely die from cancer or worse. Beyond the river lay a wasteland of scrub. Nothing good or wholesome there. Yet on rare occasions, people still appeared out of that horizon. I had come out of that horizon. "What is this thing?" I asked Wick, who was taking a good long look at what I'd brought. The thing pulsed, as harmless and functional as a lamp. Yet one of the terrors the company had visited on the city in the past was to test its biotech on the streets. The city turned into a vast laboratory and now half destroyed, just like the company. Wick smiled the thin smile of a thin man, which looked more like a wince. With one arm on the table and left leg crossed over the right, in loose-fitting linen pants he'd found a week before and a white button-down shirt he'd worn so long it was yellowing, Wick looked almost relaxed. But I knew it was a pose, struck as much for the city's benefit as mine. Slashes in the pants, holes in the shirt, the details you tried to unsee that told a more accurate story.
"What isn't it? That's the first question," he said.
"Then what isn't it?" He shrugged, unwilling to commit. A wall sometimes formed between us when discussing fines, a guardedness I didn't like. "Should I come back at some other time, when you're feeling more talkative?" I asked. I'd grown less patient with him over time, which was unkind, as he needed my patience more now. The raw materials for his creations were running out, and he had other pressures. His rivals, in particular, the magician, who had taken over the entire western reaches of the city, encroached on his thoughts and territory, made demands on him now. His handsome face beneath wispy blonde hair, the lantern chin and high cheekbones, had begun to eat themselves the way a candle is eaten by flame.
"Can it fly?" he asked, finally.
"No," I said, smiling. "It has no wings," although we both knew that was no guarantee.
Does it bite?
It hasn't bitten me, I said. Why? Should I bite it?
Should we eat it?
Of course he didn't mean it. Wick was always cautious, even when reckless. But he was opening up after all. I could never predict it. Maybe that was the point. No, we shouldn't, I said.
We could play catch with it.
You mean help it fly?
If we're not going to eat it.
It's not really a ball anymore. Which was the truth. For a time, the creature I called Born had retreated into itself, but had now, with a strangely endearing tentative grace, become vase-shaped again. The thing just lay there on the table, pulsing and strobing in a way I found comforting. The strobing made it look bigger, or perhaps it had already started growing. Wick's hazel green eyes had grown larger, more empathic in that shrunken face as he pondered the puzzle of what I had brought to him. Those eyes saw everything, except, perhaps, how I saw him.
I know what it isn't, Wick said, serious again. It isn't Mord made. I doubt Mord knew he carried it, but it isn't necessarily from the company, either.
Mord could be devious, and Mord's relationship with the company was in flux. Sometimes we wondered if a civil war raged in the remnants of the company building between those who supported Mord and those who regretted creating him.
Where did Mord pick it up from, if not the company?
A tremor at Wick's mouth made the purity of his features more arresting and intense.
Whispers come back to me of things roaming the city that owe no allegiance to Mord, the company, or the magician. I see these things at the fringes, in the desert at night, and I wonder.
Foxes and other small mammals had shadowed me that morning. Was that what Wick meant? Their proliferation was a mystery. Was the company making them, or was the desert encroaching on the city? I didn't tell him about the animals. Wanted his own testimony, prompted. Things? But he ignored my question, changed course.
Well, it's easy enough to learn more.
Wick passed his hand over Born. The crimson worms living in his wrist leapt out briefly to analyze it before retreating into his skin.
Surprising. It is from the company. At least, created inside the company.
He'd worked for the company in its heyday, a decade ago, before being cast out, thrown away, as he put it, in a rare unguarded moment. But not by the company.
It has the economy of design usually only achieved by committees of one.
When Wick danced around a subject, it made me nervous. The world was already too uncertain, and if I looked to Wick for anything besides security, it was for knowledge. Do you think it's a mistake? I asked. An afterthought? Something put out in the trash? Wick shook his head, but his tight frown didn't reassure me. Wick was self-sufficient and self-contained. So was I. Or so we both thought. But now I felt he was withholding some crucial piece of information. Then what?
It could be almost anything. It could be a beacon. It could be a cry for help. It could be a bomb.
Did Wick really not know? So maybe we should eat it? He laughed, shattering the architectural lines of his face. The laughter didn't bother me, not then at least.
I wouldn't. Much worse to eat a bomb than a beacon.
He leaned forward, and I took such pleasure from staring at his face that I thought he had to notice.
But we should know its purpose. If you give it to me, I can at least break it down into its parts, cycle it through my beetles, discover more that way, make use of it.
We were, in our way, equals by now, partners. I sometimes called him my boss because I scavenged for him, but I didn't have to give him the sea anemone. Nothing in our agreement said I had to. True, he could take it while I slept, but this was always the test of our relationship. Were we symbiotic or parasitic? I looked at the creature lying there on the table, and I felt possessive. The feeling rose out of me unexpected, but true. And not just because I'd risked Mord to find Born. I think I'll keep it for a while, I said. Wick gave me a long look, shrugged, and said too casually, "Suit yourself." The creature might be unusual, but we'd seen similar things before. Perhaps he believed there was little harm. Then he took a golden beetle from his pocket, put it in his ear, and his eyes no longer saw me. He always did that after something reminded him of the company in the wrong way, unleashing a kind of self-despising rage and melancholy. I had told him confessing whatever had happened there might bring him peace, but he always ignored me. He told me he was shielding me. I did not believe him. Not really. Perhaps he was trying to forget the details of some personal failure he could not forgive, something he'd brought on himself, or actions he'd taken toward the end. Yet the job he'd chosen, or been forced into, after leaving, could only remind him of the company hour by hour, day by day. It was hard to guess because I didn't know much about biotech, and I felt the answers I wanted from him might be technical, that maybe he thought I wouldn't understand the details. If I'd had his full attention, if Wick had argued with me over Born, the future might have been different. If he'd insisted on taking Born from me, but he didn't. Couldn't.